U.S. Department of Energy's contractor, Bendix, did themselves. And they did a comprehensive study of Copper Mountain. It has potential to be one of the biggest projects in North America, definitely one of the biggest projects in the U.S. Very exciting. That's Copper Mountain.
And you also have a drill permit upgrade that's imminent, is that correct?
Correct. So what you do is there's a small scale drill permit in Wyoming. We have that already. And then there's something called the plan of operations, which covers the whole project area. And we should get that any minute.
Good day. We have a special guest here today. We have Thomas Lamb, CEO of Myriad Uranium. How are you, Thomas?
Yeah, fine. Thanks, Steve. How are you?
Not bad at all. So it's an exciting time for uranium. I'd love to hear your thoughts on kind of where the market's going and if you are still optimistic about uranium space, and we'll start there.
Yeah, I am. We've all been waiting, especially the last year and a half, for the reality of the situation to take hold. And a lot of your viewers maybe understand already, but there is this big supply-demand imbalance globally, and then inside the US too, if you're focused on domestic production of uranium. Globally, the world produces roughly 160 million pounds a year, but consumes 200 million. In the US, the US produces maybe 1 million, give or take, pounds, and consumes 40 to 50 million pounds. So it's a great time to be inside the US. You've got the politics in the US are focused on domestic production of things. And then globally, there's a big supply-demand imbalance. There's no short or medium-term fix for either of these things. So we've been waiting for the reality of that to take hold in the markets, so in terms of the price, and now that's happening. You see it just moving up. So I'm very optimistic about the future. There's no way to fix this issue.
So how does the shortage, the supply-demand issue, the imbalance look compared to other things like
Sure.
oil
Copper.
or copper or anything that how does it compare?
Yeah, actually, uranium is different. It is hard to mine uranium. It's mined in Kazakhstan. It's a byproduct in Australia. Canada has the highest grade uranium mines. It's difficult. It's really hard to increase production. The world does not have the experts anymore. They're all from the 1970s vintage, maybe some from the 2005, 2010 range. So it's really hard to increase production because you're limited by experts. We saw that with Cameco. That's the Western giant. Based in Saskatchewan, Canada, but they've got operations worldwide. They've released in the news that they're going to have to really, well, they'll be limited in how much they can increase production. They may even have to scale down production because they don't have the people, experts to help them. There's that issue. You've got geopolitics. Kazakhstan is squeezed between China and Russia. You need acid. A lot of acid for the process they use in Kazakhstan, which produces over 40% of the world's uranium. And there's a big acid shortage. You're limited there. Uranium mining is complicated, and it takes 10 or 15 years to open a new uranium mine once you've sort of start discovering. So whereas copper, to answer your question, the big copper mines, just take the big copper mines in Chile, for example. They have these halos that get lower and lower grade. As demand increases and the price of copper increases, you can just increase how much of it you mine. It's lower grade, more expensive to mine, but you just keep mining. There are some things you can do with copper. You can restart old copper mines. There's lots out there and that sort of thing. Uranium, a lot trickier. Especially the way the mineralization they mine in Kazakhstan, for example, or these roll front systems, which is like a river in the sandstone that you're mining. This is it. I mean, you're pumping acid down there and pulling it up, and you know where the river is, and you know where the front is of the river, the roll front. And once you've got it, that's it. So there's no kind of halo that expands out to mine. There are other issues with uranium, but anyway, it's tough.
Thomas, you've got a background in exploration. If you can tell us a bit about your kind of where you come from, and if you can tell us about Myriad and why you're excited about Myriad in particular.
I'm a lawyer, a corporate lawyer, finance guy by background. 2005, I started a gold mining company called Gold Group with a friend and colleague. We got it up to a couple hundred million dollars in value. We're on the S&P. And that was my first success, and it was great. I've since worked in Russia. I was on the board of Russia's second largest gold producer, a huge company. And that was, a long time ago, 13 years ago. And I've since helped build some other companies, including M2 Cobalt, which was sold to Jervois, kind of an offshoot of Glencore, which some of your folks. So that journey was amazing for us and our investors. We took our entity plus the combined entity from a few tens of millions, 100 million, up to 1 point something billion. I did that with our ch current chairman of our company, Simon Clark. So we've done things together where we build from scratch companies that end up in the billion-dollar plus range. He did that with his previous role called American Lithium. He took it up from several tens of millions to 1.3 billion, 1.4 billion. So this is our background. This is what we do. We invest a lot of our own money in our deals. I'm one of the big investors in Myriad. I put a lot of my own money out of my own checking account into this company. That's the background of myself, CEO, and our chairman. Our geologist, George van der Walt, has been a top global geologist in the uranium space for 20 years. We have a fantastic team that people can check out on our website and our PowerPoint beyond that. Excellent directors, technical advisors. And Jim Davis is our key technical advisor, and he was general manager of the work at our key project in the 1970s. So, and he then worked on to work for major multinationals. Has an illustrious past in geology. Got a great team designed to build a billion-dollar plus company, but we happen to be starting, as we like to do, with these small companies so that we can really build big multiples for our investors.
Thomas, you mentioned having someone on the team who's familiar with the site. If you can tell us about your flagship, as you know, where your properties are, and if you can tell us about the jurisdiction.
Wyoming is the world's top jurisdiction right now. It's because it's inside the US, and it also is the top producer inside the US right now. Great regulatory environment. And our flagship project is there, right in the middle, near a town called Riverton. It's called the Copper Mountain Uranium Project. I think it's called Copper Mountain because when the sun's setting, it looks red. It produced copper, copper, pardon me. It produced uranium in the 50s and 60s during the Cold War. It was a significant producer. And then Union Pacific Railway came in the 1970s and invested a huge amount of money, 85 million US in today's dollars. They drilled 2,000 boreholes, discovered seven deposits, identified 15 prospects through drilling. So they were each drilled 3 to 20 boreholes, found mineralization, and they're kind of like deposits in waiting that are on the list to be advanced to deposit status. Overall, 1982, US Department of Energy, this is so the Union Pacific was there till about 1981. They planned a large scale mine. It was going to start producing in 1983, but in 1979, Three Mile Island accident happened. US uranium sector shut down. And that's why, if you're in the US and you're wondering why you don't produce uranium, Three Mile Island, 1979, just politically and socially, US shied away from uranium. Our project, 1982, US Department of Energy did a massive study of Copper Mountain, and we're going to have a news release out on this shortly. Identified and estimated an enormous uranium endowment for Copper Mountain based on the 2,000 boreholes, plus some that US Department of Energy's contractor Bendix did themselves. And they did a comprehensive study of Copper Mountain. Has potential to be one of the biggest projects in North America, definitely one of the biggest projects in the US. Very exciting. That's Copper Mountain.
And you also have a drill permit upgrade that's imminent, is that correct?
Correct. So what you do is there's a small scale drill permit in Wyoming. We have that already. And then there's something called the plan of operations, which covers the whole project area. And we should get that any minute. And I imagine we'll be announcing that soon. I've talked about that publicly, so people are waiting for that. And that will allow us to advance the entire project area. And we just have to amend it as we advance. So it's a big upgrade and it's an important step. Permitting, for those of you who know the mining sector, permitting is very important.
How long does it usually take to get a permit in that area, typically?
So 4 months.
Four months?
Yep, 4 months. And if you need some enhancements, for example, there's some wildlife issues. There's a endangered falcon that breeds 2 months a year, and you can't work that during that period. Then you need some additional studies where they give you your sort of constraints or your parameters, so that you don't disturb them while they're doing their thing. So 4 to 6 months, typically 4 months.
Gotcha. You said you got quite a bit of investment yourself. So if you can tell us about the share structure a bit, any insiders worth mentioning?
So there's me. I've got millions of shares. People can look on SEDAR or the regulatory portals. And then we generally pay ourselves as management, we think, in the bottom quartile in terms of fees. But we're equity heavy, so we do stock options and all that sort of thing. And the point is, you win, we win. And we like it. We're not in this for the fees. We're in this to invest in the equity and then make a big multiple. So we think insiders own around 22%, or people close to the center. Some people have like some big famous uranium investors. Stephen Dattels, for example, he put in $1 million personal check after 2 month due diligence. He put his technical expert into our data room, who reviewed our stuff and then recommended, and that brought in some interest into the company. He was an insider, and then I don't know if he's flipped out from being an insider. So, do you count him or not? And et cetera. 22%, we think institutions, family offices account for 20, 30, maybe 40%. We've been trading a lot lately. Our price has gone up significantly, nearly doubled in the last week, maybe. And that is because there's a talk of us, if say we're at 45 cents Canadian right now. The chatter is that we'll be, it's always a risk of sounding promotional, but multiple dollars, multiple dollars. So, and we've got smart people thinking that. People look at that themselves out in the information space, and there are reasons for that. We have an institutional project that, for historic reasons, is in this small company. It could have gone straight into a SPAC or a big NASDAQ company right out of the gate, and this is a whole another story. But we didn't know at the time when we put it in this little Canadian company that it was so big, and so we're growing it from here. But now the reality of the situation, the fact that we have this huge project in the top jurisdiction in North America and in the world, is now dawning on people.
We're talking about the largest known uranium ore reserve in the whole country, a vast potential. We're talking about a jurisdiction-friendly permit upgrade. You got uranium on the rise. What upside are we talking about in terms of potential? And do you see any risk? Is it too late to enter uranium at this time?
And I have to say, for regulatory reasons, because if the regulators watch this, I have to say, our estimates of what's in the ground are not National Instrument 43-101 compliant estimates of resource or reserve under the Canadian regulations. They're historical estimates. And I'm not making a claim. Anyway, I'm not making a claim about it being the biggest, et cetera. Just need to put that in there for
What do you think you have? What do you think you
the
have?
Well, so I would, and this is a personal opinion as management. I mean, I think I would be surprised if we don't have, certainly in terms of uranium in the ground, several hundred million pounds. In terms of mineable uranium, that's to be seen. But we're probably going to be able to get this up to 100 million pounds. Now that's going to take considerable work and investment. So this isn't tomorrow, and this will require drilling, fundraising, advancing the project over the next bunch of years. But it's it, and let's you know, I can't. I Securities lawyer in me, which is my old career back in the day. I'm not supposed to, you can't make claims about it being the biggest and best, but I do think it's pretty amazing. So the upside there is incredible. If you look at the cycles of uranium, these things get huge valuations as uranium moves. You look at last cycle, these companies went up tens and tens and tens of a multiple, 10x, 20x, 30x. That's just the way it has worked in the past. Let's see now. The upside is really big because you, as the price of uranium moves up, it's currently around $84 a pound or something, somewhere in that range, and it's moved up from $30 a pound a few years ago. This is the around $70 a pound, $80 a pound is when projects start to really make money. And the Wall Street estimates are that next year it'll be $135 a pound. Going from $5 a pound profit from production to $40, $50 a pound profit from production is, the multiples you get on your share price are very exciting. The upside's huge. What was very likely to happen is, in my opinion, personal opinion, since we have a big uranium endowment, historical, not National Instrument 43-101, et cetera, since we have a big endowment, someone I believe will come and take us out, or we will end up listing on the NASDAQ or, big NYSE American or something like that, either on ours. We will do it ourselves, or we'll do it in partnership with some group. And then you see some real excitement. So the upside is, and uranium again, supply demand. The future is very bright. We're all incredibly excited in this space. I suggest people just maybe pop onto Twitter or Google some of the commentary from the real experts. You don't have to go to the influencers and promoters and things. Look at the real quality analysts, what they have to say, and they uranium is going up big time.
Thomas, let's say someone's excited about uranium. They're bullish on it. They have questions about Myriad, like not questions bad, but like why? I'm interested in investing in uranium, but why Myriad? What would you tell them in terms of why this is the company to land on? What would you say?
We have an analyst who's been looking at the company. He was looking at the company on behalf of the fund, the original sort of fund that was on uranium 5 years ago, out of the East Coast U.S. He's since moved on to some really interesting things in the uranium space, and he started to say about a year and a half ago that Myriad is the call option on uranium in the U.S. And he believes it, and I talk to him regularly. I won't say his name because it probably should be official and that sort of thing. And he hasn't, but and I've said this publicly that we have been called, and especially by him, some people know exactly who I'm talking about. We are the call option on uranium, and the reason is we have this big historical endowment and a very low market cap for what we have. So we're super high torque. Uranium and mineral sector is risky, everybody. Hold on to your hats. There'll be volatility. Share price will go up and down, and it's but when it happens, we believe we're one of the companies that will generate, the really, really big returns. So if you believe in the thesis, and it's because we have foundation of known mineralization, extensive known mineralization, our comps at our same market cap are out there just looking for some uranium somewhere, trying to drill some uranium, and they maybe have getting sniffs. Our project was going to be a large scale mine. It's there. And then we have this enormous blue sky upside from there. So then, that we're super high torque. That's why I pour a lot of my own money into it too. We're going to make a lot of money on this. I'm really confident.
Well, Thomas, I'm looking forward to following your story. You also, last question, I see that you have 2.6 million Canadian or so. Is that still accurate?
That's
What
right.
do you plan to do with that, and what's the end goal?
We're doing a bit of geophysics in New Mexico. We are doing some additional work in so New Mexico, we have a very nice project that has historical mineralization. It was drilled in the 1970s and big upside. So it's a good project. It's a junior project relative to Wyoming. We're doing geophysics there. We're doing a fair amount of surface work, geochem, probably some geophysics in Wyoming with that money. And we do have plan to do some drilling. We just have not decided exactly. There's new information that's coming out soon. The public will see. Please follow us on your ticker and track us. And you will see that we have we're evolving the plan in an exciting way. There's new information coming, so we want to drill in the right places. There will be drilling coming up. If we're going to do a big expanded drill program, we'll need more money. But we have enough there to do some really exciting drilling. We acquired a new area called Lucky Cliff a while ago. It has an 85-foot intercept, historic intercept at one point, or well, 1200 ppm, and that's an equivalent grade. Not to get technical, equivalent grade. We think if we assay it, the disequilibrium will increase the grade by 50 or 60%. That is a fantastic intercept for Wyoming. It's a whole new area. We're going to go there and drill that. Hopefully, it comes up aces. That's an example of something we're going to do where it's going to bring it alive for people that we have, not just this core area that was going to be a large scale uranium mine, but there's a whole periphery that is, this thing could just turn into a really expanded project. We know it will. It's just we want to bring it alive for people. So there's that. We're merging with our partner, Rush Rare Metals. That's exciting coming up. We have some new assays that are coming out, chemical assays that will expand the size of our grade shells. And the average grade, and a few more interesting things coming too. So,
Thomas, if anyone else wants to follow the story, if you can share your ticker, your website, as well as a way for people to contact you and follow your story.
in the US on the OTC, we trade as MYRUF, MYRUF. In Canada, the symbol is M. And in Europe, we trade in Frankfurt, C3Q. Our website is Myriad Uranium. com. You can find my contact information there. I love it when investors contact me. I'll interact with you and answer your questions all within the bounds of the securities laws. But I'm very happy to interact with shareholders, potential investors, anybody. Please contact me.
Thomas, just because you're the lawyer type, I want to make sure everyone's clear that the Thomas, you have not paid for this interview, and that we ourselves are not currently investors, although that may change after this interview.
Great.
So thank you for sharing the Super Torque company and the call company, and excited to follow your story, and hope the listeners get some benefit from this as well. So thank you for your time, Thomas.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Yeah.